Yes, it is. This is the Big O Show. It's a beautiful Monday wherever you're at. It's another day we get to enjoy. Welcome aboard to a Monday edition of the podcast. No broadcast today. Technical snafus. We'll get it going for you tomorrow here on the program. A lot of things to talk about today on the show. Remember, you can always reach out to us at 786-322-1105. An interesting weekend. We almost had both football teams win as the Canes were able to defeat Virginia 17-9. Nicosi Perry led the boys to the victory, or maybe should I say the defense led the team to a victory, because I think we'll hand that win to the defense overall. It wasn't like the offense was anything special in that game, but they did enough at least to put up 17 points and get it done overall. But the defense was the one that won that game, so we'll get into that. The Dolphins, well, it was a fan base that was torn in many different directions. Some of you were rooting against that two-point conversion because you wanted them to lose. And the good thing for those of you that were, you know, you're in the tank mode at this point in time, the positive is there's less teams now to compete for that number one spot because there are less teams with zero wins. I mean, the Jets yesterday, as much as I never want to see the Jets win, I wanted to see them win yesterday. Plus, it's kind of fun watching the Dallas Cowboys squirm, especially Jerry Jones. That is, you know, one of those things that's kind of interesting. So the Jets got their first win, so they're off the schneid, as they say. The Cardinals picked up another victory. They're 2-3-1. I mean, they've pulled away from Miami now in that race. So you don't even have to worry about the Arizona Cardinals challenging Miami for that number one spot. In fact, I think you saw yesterday improvement in a team. But overall, there's only two teams left with zero in the win column. That's Miami and Cincinnati. There you go. So and there will be a Miami-Cincinnati game. So I think, right, don't they play Cincinnati? I'm pretty sure that they play Cincinnati because they do. Don't they play that division? I want to say that might be in the cards, or maybe it's in the schedule. I'll look it up now. I don't know why I think they do play Cincinnati. Now, hopefully they don't. Hopefully they don't play Cincinnati. Why? Because they might have a chance to actually beat Cincinnati. I'm not even sure. I'm pulling it up for you right now. Yeah, they play them the second to last game of the season, week 16, on the 22nd of December, and they play them here at home. Okay? And here's the thing about what happened yesterday. And we, of course, on this show, we've been, you know, telling you exactly what's going on with the Dolphins, unlike others that are too busy and, oh, how can I twist the whole tank thing in my favor or against me or against them or whatever it is, right? Well, we told you, right? The first two games, nobody showed up, offense and defense. Third game against Dallas, the defense showed up into the third quarter. Fourth game against the Chargers, the entire team showed up for a half. Second half, they lost it. In this game, they gave you four quarters. So there's been gradual improvement. It's not in the win column, but they're playing better football. And that's pretty cool. I know that they're not winning, but it was yesterday. Listen, Brian Flores and his staff did an excellent job. I disagree with the call. Yesterday, I would have gone for the extra point. If you're at least going to go for the two-point conversion, have Fitzpatrick throw it into the end zone, okay? You had Preston Williams and Devontae Parker make plays for you in two different drives. Key plays, key catches. Go back to them. They're big. They're both like 6'5". They're huge targets. That's what I would have gone to. But that play, I mean, come on. You don't have a great offensive line. You got to have people covering it up to make sure that they're blocking properly there. They snuffed that thing out right away. So, it was a terrible call. I would have gone for the extra point. Heck, I mean, Brian Flores is the guy that wants extra plays for his guys. And, well, you would have gotten maybe even an overtime. Find out how your team plays in overtime. What the heck? The twisted part is a lot of you out there that are on this whole tank thing and you're literally rooting against your team, okay? You wanted to go for that two-point conversion because you felt they had pretty much no shot at converting it, that it was going to be a miracle if they were able to convert that thing. That's kind of the way you guys were looking at it. Don't give me this crap. I know exactly what's going on. I'm not stupid. I wasn't born yesterday. You guys wanted to do that. That's exactly what you twisted human beings out there. You were like, yeah, go for two because you guys suck. It's a miracle you're already here. You'll never convert the two. That's kind of what you thought. On the flip side for me, I was like, well, take the extra point. There's only a couple seconds left. They're not going to score. Take your chances in overtime. Maybe you get the ball first. Maybe you can control it and set the tempo, who knows, and it would be a really nice win. Plus, you get more plays for your team out there on the field, more time to evaluate everyone. I don't know. That's just me. That's what I would have done. But that's just not the case. And unfortunately, they went for what I think was an absolutely terrible play. Terrible play. It's a shame because, like I told you yesterday on the postgame show, and for those of you that didn't catch it, we got the postgame show for you. We put up the podcast yesterday. It's got Rosen's press conference. It's got Flores' press conference, my reactions to it, all kinds of stuff in it, so you can check it out. But this was a situation where this is a team that was on the brink of winning, right? And this is good because it gives them hope, everything that they're fighting for, everything that they practice for every single week. It kind of means something. And this was a really good coaching job by the staff overall. The decision to bench Rosen was the right decision. He was off. He had to get benched. He deserved to get benched yesterday. He was late on throws. He wasn't really reacting properly. He also was holding on to the damn ball too long. That's the other thing. And you just can't do that. You can't hold on to the ball. You got to find a way to make a play and make a quick decision. And he really struggled yesterday with the adjustment of making a quick decision. Like I told you yesterday on the podcast, what I loved about yesterday for Rosen was that he got an opportunity to learn now, because that's what I think it was. Now he got benched for the moment. Fitz comes in. Fitz saw the environment. And he said, okay, I'm not holding on to the ball. I'm going to make quick decisions and get rid of it. And maybe that process there, Rosen sees it. And now the next time it happens to him, he will then adjust and say, okay, I got to get rid of the ball with a quickness. I've got to make fast decisions because my line is not going to hold up. I mean, you got hit like 9 times, sacked like 5. At one point or another, I would figure that you'd learn that part. But okay. You got to live with it. You got to go with it. And he struggled. And that was a great decision. Using Mark Walton more. On what show did we tell you 2 weeks ago that we wanted to see more Mark Walton? Right here. We kept talking about it. Because you could see that he was outplaying them. You could see that he was ready every time you gave him the ball. He was ready to produce. That's exactly what he did. It was really nice to see Mark Walton in the mix. These are good coaching decisions. And the fact that the team hung in there all the way to the end. There was some guy on Twitter had a lazy take. Well, they were only in it because Washington did this and made a mistake there or whatever. There's no excuses. Miami gets to celebrate here a little bit. It is a moral victory. Look, there are no moral victories for the Panthers. Okay? I don't want to hear about a point that they got because they took it overtime and they don't win enough in regulation and in overtime. That's what really matters in hockey. They get no moral victories, but these Dolphins do. These Dolphins are bare minimum all the way down to the ground. There's a bunch of young guys learning how to play in this league, learning how to perform, learning how to win. They don't know how to do any of that stuff. They got to try to figure out all that stuff. That's why they do get the moral victories. And yesterday was an enormous moral victory. Why? The Redskins have way more talent than Miami. They got some players on that defense, man. And Miami responded yesterday, and they got better. And they played a tight game. And they had a legitimate chance to win that game. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. I didn't think they would win. I thought it would be one of those close games and it would fall short, which I think we said to go with the under in that game. And you would have won with the under. By the way, Chris Long went 5-0-1 with his picks this week against the number. So for those of you that went with Chris Long's picks on Friday, you were able to benefit this week in a big-time way because he went 5-0-1 on his six picks that he gave us. I don't know what he did behind the scenes. If he was that hot with the casual picks, because that's what those are. Those aren't like the ultimate serious ones that he gives behind the scenes, of course. But he did really, really well. And I kind of said it would be a low-scoring game and a tight one. And exactly that's what it was. I was rooting for the win. I was hoping they would convert. I mean, now that you're going for it, go ahead. All right, let's go, man. Convert it. Get the win. That would have been really, really cool. You know what? There was a part of me, and this is kind of, I guess this is twisted in my own way. There was a part of me that wanted to be at the game, just at the gates, watching people walk out. And I wanted to see the pissed off Dolphin fan that they won. I wanted to see how many of you out there are there that you're like, wait a minute, I'm legitimately pissed off that these guys won because they're ruining our chance for the number one pick. Whatever it may be, because some of you now, it's Joe Burrow or it's Tua. Because there's the Joe Burrow camp is growing more and more and more and more. And LSU won this weekend against Florida, and he played well again. So it's one of those deals where some people are big time on that bandwagon, while some are on the Tua bandwagon. So we'll see if Burrow or Tua or Herbert is another guy that they talk a lot about. I'm still not convinced with Herbert. I know he has all he's the model quarterback that you want. The size, the arm strength, all that stuff. But it just did that it factor. I don't see it, right? That's my problem with it. Does he have the it factor? Can he carry you? Can he be a difference maker? He just kind of looks like a facilitator more than anything else. Again, that's going to be those are the conversations I'm looking forward to in the offseason when we go to the Senior Bowl and the Combine and all those places. When I get some of my guys in a corner, I say, all right, tell me about Herbert. I'm dying to get into that conversation. The 201, I mean, I've heard enough of it, but obviously I'm going to want to hear everything they've got to say about that. But still, when I look at Herbert, I'm just not convinced yet. I'm sorry. I wish I could be, but I'm not. Chris Perkins will be joining us at the top of the hour. Well, I shouldn't say that in a podcast, right? He'll be joining us in a few minutes, okay? That's what I'll say. So we'll have a little fun with Perk, and we'll go over the loss by the Miami Dolphins to the Washington Redskins, 17-16. Perk, of course, covers them on a daily basis. Ian Margol is going to join us, reporter for WPLG. He does a lot of news. That's really what he does, but he does some sports too, and they let him do Panthers. And there really aren't a lot of guys that I can actually call, or women, that are literally covering the team, right? And so we have George Richards on, David Dwork on, but there aren't a lot of options. And that's what I was telling Ian. I said, Ian, man, got to have you on, brother. You're good at hockey. You know your stuff. You follow them. You know, it's important that you do literally follow them. And so he does. He goes to the press conferences. He goes to the games. He covers them. And so we'll have a little fun with Ian, and we'll talk a little Panthers with him. Later on the program, Kelvin Harris, three-time national champion with the Canes, offensive lineman, Fort Myers High School grad for you Fort Myers folks out there. Well, we're going to talk to Kelvin Harris later on the program, so we'll have a little fun with him, and we'll get into the conversation with him on the Canes and their win against Virginia, which, again, I was happy with the win, okay? And I think we also have to get to the realization, ladies and gentlemen, that it's just not a good football team. It's not a good football program, and maybe this is not a good coaching staff yet. And I say yet, because everybody's got to learn, man. You didn't get an established coach. Nick Saban didn't come here. Dabo Sweeney did not come here. So since you didn't get an established one, the one you have has to grow and learn. And that's what Manny Diaz has to learn, has to grow, has to figure it all out. And maybe this was some of it with the defense. Maybe whatever he did this week, his guys will then pick up the baton and continue and get it done. Hopefully that'll be, it's kind of like Brian Flores. Although with Brian Flores, man, I can we ask this for you guys out there? Where are you with Brian Flores 5 weeks in? Because I have to say that he's not perfect. I didn't like how, and what coach is, by the way. I didn't like how he handled the Kenny Stills situation. I thought that was really bogus. Playing the Jay-Z songs. I thought that was a weak way of approaching the whole thing, that he wasn't reaching his guy, clearly. I didn't like this call at the end of the game yesterday. I thought it was a terrible decision on his part. Maybe he didn't like it either, but he gave O'Shea the power for the offense, and he gave him the authority to call it. I don't know. But in the end, it falls on him because he's the head coach. But like I told you, even though I didn't like that specific decision, I love the game. I love the coaching overall. I do. I love the fact that he has gotten Preston Williams more involved in the offense. I love that he's gotten Mark Walton more involved in the offense. I love the fact that Raekwon McMillan has gotten better under them. I mean, I could just go on and talk about different things that are positives for the Dolphins. It's really easy. It's a layup. You know what it was? It's like me slamming the Dolphins the last 20 years. Layup. Layup. It was easy. It was easy to tell you the Ndamukong Suh was a stupid contract. It was easy to tell you that Joe Philbin was going to be a failure. It's easy to tell you that Tony Sperano did not have it. There's a lot of things that were easy over the last 20 years that it was. Now, some of you didn't pick up on it. Some of you got pissed off at me, whatever. But it was easy for me. And now come on, man. It's so easy to slam the team because of the start. But it takes a little bit more to actually look into what they're doing and kind of explain what this real process is. While some people call it tanking, we don't call it that here. It was a complete reset. Some people will tell you that the players quit on them. 6 weeks in, I think those people look pretty bad, right? Players were telling reporters, oh, if they trade Laremy Tunsil, there'll be a revolt. We told you right away there wasn't going to be a revolt. And right away, when they said that the team quit, I kept saying, well, they're not watching the games because they got their ass kicked in week one and two, but they got their ass. See, the difference is some people don't know what the difference is of getting your ass kicked and running out of gas and not having enough talent to tanking because they literally think that the players are going to quit. And neither is the front office, by the way, because if the front office quit, why would they actually have Ryan Fitzpatrick here? Right? Because Ryan Fitzpatrick is capable of winning games in the league. He's proven that many times over his career. So if you're tanking, why would you bring him? Why wouldn't you have Luke Falk back him up? Another young quarterback behind a young quarterback. I mean, if you really want to tank in the front office. Right? If you really want to tank, you didn't want to trade Laremy Tunsil, but you had no choice. If you really wanted to tank, you would have traded Minka without even trying, just like Tunsil. But you didn't. You wanted both players. But one didn't want to be here, and the other one, the deal was too sweet that you couldn't pass it up. So others will tell you that they're shaping the team to tank, and we'll tell you that's ridiculous. Because it is. They're reset. The front office reset the team. The coaching staff is coaching the players that they have. And they're trying to develop every young player that they have. Those are the facts. You know? So I don't think there's any other way of looking at it. And that's why we tell you constantly that, of course, The Big O Show is proudly brought to you by Choice Mortgage Bank. We love talking about Michael Kotze and the great people at Choice Mortgage Bank. Listen, if you're in limbo with your current mortgage company, right now we can get you into a fixed mortgage rate under 4%. Call them right now, 561-441-2730. Debt consolidation. Let's pay off all those credit cards. You got some space there. You got some equity in your home. Let's do it. Now's the time. You're paying 4.5%, 5%. Let's get you into a much lower rate. Maybe we can get you out of a 30-year and get you into a 15-year with the rates the way they are right now. And by lowering your rate also, you're going to save thousands in the long run, which goes into your pocket. You can have more vacations. You can buy a new car. You can help your kids' college fund. Call Michael Kotze. Great people. They've been supporting our show for over 9 years now. And listener after listener after listener loves it when they call them because they take care of you. Call them. You got the owner's personal cell number, 561-441-2730. Rates and terms, subject to change, daily without notice, equal housing lender, and MLS 166-254. It's Choice Mortgage Bank. All right, we promised you that, of course, my man Chris Perkins from The Athletic would be kind enough to join us now on the program to talk a little about that loss yesterday as the Dolphins lost to the Washington Redskins 17-16. Make sure you follow him on Twitter like I and so many others do at Chris Perk and catch his exceptional work at your doorstep, of course, at The Athletic, or actually online at The Athletic MIA, not at your doorstep, but you can get it at your doorstep of your email if you want. You'll get some updates there if you want. Perk, how you doing, my man, on a beautiful Monday?
Big O, I am doing well, man. We got some stuff to talk about with the Dolphins, right? It's not just a boring loss where they didn't even contend in the second half. We had some encouraging stuff to talk about coaching-wise. Maybe not so much among the players that you want to see, right? You want to see the younger guys come through. And I guess Devontae did, but, you know, the Fitzpatrick thing – I'm not too excited about that, but we can get into all that.
The Fitzpatrick thing, I think, was a learning. It was a lesson for Rosen. Hey, dude, adjust. The pressure's coming. Make quick decisions. Maybe sitting back on the sidelines, he saw the way Fitz reacted to it and said, okay, I got to adjust my game. I got to read faster, make quicker decisions, because he was late on throws. Those interceptions were on him because, look, the first one with Preston mm-hmm. could have done a better job of fighting for a ball in the deflection. I could also say that Isaiah Ford could have come back a little bit, but the fact that he had to wait for the football, that thing had to be delivered before he turned around. So as he's turning around, that ball is right on top of him before the defender. All those little things, Rosen was off yesterday, and that was a good coaching move on behalf of Flores to make that change, and a good lesson, hopefully, that the young man will learn. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. I want to see more from Josh Rosen at this point, Big O. Yesterday was his 16th start, so you know you could say that's a full season, 3-10 in Arizona, 0-3 with the Dolphins as far as starts. And it's time for Josh to start making those kinds of things, throwing guys open and not making those mistakes and being the one who can spark the team. We'll see what he does here the rest of the way, these final 11 games. You could say his second season, right, because he just made his 16th start. But I would have liked to have seen more from the young players. Dieter kind of had a rough start to the game. He picked it up later. Like I said, Devontae, I don't know if he's, I don't know how young he is or how much he's part of the future. The running backs were a little bit disappointing. Charles Harris, he got his playing time reduced. I want to see more out of these young guys, Big O. And I know it's still just 5 games into the season. I know a lot of these guys are not NFL players. But it's about time to start seeing some hints of a player development from the young guys.
No, I'm with you, Perk, on all of that. But we are seeing it, because think about it this way. This is the way I've been telling people, because it's a super young team as it is. The youngest team in the mm-hmm. NFL, least experience, all that good stuff. First 2 games, neither side of the ball showed up. Third game, defense showed up into the third quarter against Dallas. Fourth game, the entire team showed up for a half. This game, the entire team showed up for an entire game. There has been progress overall as a football team. We have watched a football team get better every single week. We cannot let that slide. We have to give Brian Flores a little love that he's working with less than everybody else in the NFL, and he's at least maximizing what he has at this point. I got to give him a little love for that.
No, I give Flo some love. Look, and not only, and here's what I wrote today. Part of it is that those who thought that Flores and the coaches were complicit in the tank job, well, he made the coaching change. He went for it on fourth down in the punt formation. They do the direct snap to Ballage. They have the onside kick. The play call on the 2-point conversion I didn't think was a bad call. Maybe you throw it into the end zone to Gesicki or Preston Williams or Devontae, but these guys have got to execute their blocks, right? Jamarcus Webb didn't come close to executing his block. That was shameful, wasn't it, Big O?
It was terrible.
So, I don't have a problem with the play call. I thought we saw some progression in the coaching staff. And I also thought one other thing that, look, when healthy, I still got this team winning definitely 1 game, maybe 2. When healthy, they can compete with teams that are the lower tier teams, Washington, Cincinnati, the Jets. They were only missing Xavier yesterday. I guess they were missing Jakeem Grant also for punt return purposes mostly. But, when healthy, I started off saying they were going to go 3-13 after the first games. I lowered it to 2-14, but I think I'm going to hold steady at 2-14 for a while, I think.
Okay. I think Cincinnati's their only hope, really, in week 16, actually. The second to last week of the season. I think I saw the Jets yesterday, and now that they got their quarterback back, that defense is jacked. Miami's going to have a lot of problems against them, I think, overall. But Cincinnati is definitely – Washington and Cincinnati were the two teams that I think they have a legitimate shot at surprising them, and that's – And that's the screwed up part, that week 16 we might be talking about the battle for the number one overall pick, because really we're down to the two teams that are probably looking at an either over or maybe a one win or maybe two win season, no more than that. Hell, Arizona's already got two wins and a tie. They have pulled completely away from Miami. If this was horse racing, they're up by 20 lengths now at this point, because there is no way Miami gets there, right?
I agree. I think that second win is probably going to be your death blow for the number one pick, Big O. I do think everybody's going to win one game this season, but you get that second victory, and now you're really in jeopardy of not getting that number one pick, I think.
Yeah, no, I'm with you all the way. Chris Perkins, of course, from The Athletic, joining us. And, Perk, you hit on it. I hated the decision that he did. I would have gone for the kick instead and get more plays in, more experience for everybody. But the caveat is, if you're going to go for it, brother, Devontae made plays for you. Preston made plays for you. Throw the ball into the end zone. Fitz is on a roll. The only reason you're in this game, it's because of Fitz, his decision-making, and his arm, not because of your offensive line and your running game and any kind of screen or anything like that. Come on, man. You got to do it the right way. And that's where – and I think that's what you mentioned, that you like the call, but maybe you like going for it, but you would have liked to have seen maybe a different call. That's my caveat to all of this. I either go for the extra point, but if I'm not going for the extra point, I'm living and dying with Fitz at the moment, not with what they tried there with that little screen or whatever the hell you want to call it.
You know, Daniel Kilgore went out on the touchdown reception to Devontae Parker. He limped off the field eventually. But, you know, they had Evan Bain in there from right guard to center, and then they brought in Shaq Calhoun. And I asked Flores after the game, did that influence the play call? I think he thought that I was asking, did that influence the result of the play? And he was saying, no, it had nothing to do with center guard exchange or those guys being in there. We've got to make that play. But I wonder if they thought, well, we're definitely not going to go behind Calhoun and Bain here, even though Bain, I guess, played a reasonably good game. They went to the left, and maybe he said that they had designed that play, that was one of their top two-point conversion plays. You know, every team has a list of two-point conversion plays. Mm-hmm. It was interesting that Kenyon Drake said after the game he hadn't practiced it all week, that he said somebody else had taken those reps. We think it was Mark Walton. But, I do wonder if going to the right side of the field, like the I believe Preston Williams was wide right. I wonder if the, you know, Shaq Calhoun and Bain combination did influence the play call. But again, you've got to give it a chance. I think if you're relying on one guy to make somebody miss and get into the end zone, you did go to the right guy, right? I favor him over Albert Wilson or, you know, Devontae or anything else. You throw it up high for Preston, Devontae, or Gesicki. If you're going to Kenyon, I think that's a good call. You hope that he can make one man miss and go, you know, what, 3 or 4 yards and get into the end zone. So, again, he could have thrown it into the end zone, but I'm not really mad at him for the play call.
No, well, okay, I got you. I wish he would have, you know, give it to Fitz and let him throw it into the end zone. Right. And now, listen, the thing about all of this, I kind of explained it on my post-game podcast yesterday. We got to understand that we are watching – you know, a young Preston Williams trying to figure things out. Dude, you got to run out of bounds, not try to get the first down. Isaiah Ford, you got to come to the football, help your quarterback out. Preston Williams, you got to fight for the football or a deflection on that play. The coach, should I have put it in Fitz's hands or that play was the right play? Maybe he didn't even like that play himself, but he gave O'Shea, you know, control and he's calling the offense. That's the whole thing about all of this. When you look all over the place, it's really a whole bunch of young people or young coaches learning how to win, learning how to play together, learning how to figure all this stuff out. That's the thing. When you look up and down this roster, it doesn't matter where you go. There's a lot of inexperience, and because of that, we're going to see our share of mistakes.
Yeah, and you know what, Big O, I don't mind really seeing the inexperience. You know my my view on the teardown, that I was all for it until it went to Tunsil and Minka, and we're not going to debate that. I know why each was done, and,
sure.
and you know, I understand. But you just want to see them be able to retain some of the talent from this season. And aside from the obvious, right, you know, Dieter and Christian Wilkins, the draftees. But, you know, you would like to see them be able to develop a Johnson Batamosi, even if it's just for special teams, or Stephen Parker, Ken Webster. And those are the guys, to me, as much as the drafted players, the season is about finding some of those guys also. Look, we see, and I mentioned this quite a bit, the reclamation project, Big O. I'm all for this. When you take Josh Rosen, a former first-round pick, Taco Charlton, former first-round pick, Robert Condici, former first-round pick, Mark Walton, who had run into some legal problems. I would like to see one of those guys emerge, and they're giving Taco a chance. They're giving Josh a chance.
Walton, too.
Walton a chance.
Walton,
too. There's all kinds of levels, player development that I'm looking for this season.
Yeah, and Walton's one of those guys that, hey, the other guys haven't been showing up. Now that, because 2 weeks ago I was saying, I want to see more Walton, and now we're starting to see more Walton because he's been prepared every time they call his number. The kid is ready, helps you on offense, helps you on special teams. And if the other guys are going to be, you know, a little bit off, then, you know, then you got to go to Walton. And that's one of the things that I do like about what we've been watching. And look, a guy that we thought was going to go downhill was the linebacker, what's it called?
Raekwon.
And Raekwon, his first year, he had the knee injury, so he gets the break. Last year, he looked kind of lost. Right now, he looks like he's, you know, playing really well. He's understanding the defense and what he has to do. You know, there's a young guy that's improving under them. They've got if you start looking around, some of their young guys are improving, actually. I mean, hell, like I just told you at the beginning of the thing, there's no way we get to this point from yesterday without improvement. The entire team has improved.
Yeah, and again, I look at this from all levels, because you do have the veteran level of guys like Xavier and Bobby McCain, and like I said, the draft pick level of Wilkins and Dieter. You've got the reclamation project level of Taco Charlton and Josh Rosen and Mark Walton. You've got your undrafted free agent level. So at all levels, Big O, I'm looking for player development and reasonable player development, right? I'm not expecting them to turn Stephen Parker into a Pro Bowl player.
Right.
But, that's something.
Yeah.
Player development at all levels. And we'll see. First quarter of the season was rough, but starting yesterday, this is the second quarter, right? We could be seeing some significant development. We'll have to wait and see through these next three games and where we are at the midpoint. But, look, it's better than the alternative, right? It's better than continually getting blown out by 25. This was a team that again, of equal or lesser quality, so you expected them to do something like that, and it's better than the alternative, I'll say that.
I'm with you. And listen, look at that Washington defense. They got some talent on that defense. They got way more talent on that team than Miami does. So I give them props for hanging in there. Now, Perk, have you tripped out with the conspiracy theories and all the other craziness that comes up? Like, I don't know, like Barry Jackson wanting the owner to come down and say, hey, bench all these guys so we can continue tanking even worse than we are right now. I mean, just the crazy stuff that's going on. Like, immediately when X was inactive, it's almost like this is the plan. He's really healthy enough to play, but they're holding him out so they can suck a little bit more. I mean, this is the part that really becomes, you know, Oliver Stone-ish.
Well, I'll tell you this, Big O, I am going to be interested to see what the inactive list looks like as the season wears on and how many of these veterans end up playing 16 games. Look, the way that they could do this, you remember the Heat in the 07-08 season, the miserable season? I remember Udonis Haslam had ankle problems, and I might have told you this before. And he was out for like a month. He comes back after the All-Star break. The ankle still isn't quite right. They know he's going to need surgery after the season, so they pull him like 6 weeks before the season is done. And you know, I remember Udonis talking to us with tears in his eyes because he knew he could finish the season, but they didn't want to risk it. Udonis was too good. They might win some games.
Right.
And so that's the kind of stuff that I'll be looking for. You hold X out when he was 90% healthy. I don't think those kinds of things that are going to happen. But yeah, the guys who were 50-50, I'll be interested to see how they treat that. The guys who are going to need surgery in February, I'll be interested if they make them have surgery in December. I am going to be looking for that type of stuff.
All right, let me make a guess on what's going to happen there. If you're actually a veteran, which there, I don't know how many are left on this team, but if you're old and you're on a one-year deal or whatever, it's expiring, they'll play your ass. If you actually have a future and you're part of their foundation, i.e. X, they are going to take care of you and coddle you and protect you like they should. I think that's how it's going to be. Just like when people think that next year, with all that money they have in free agency, that they're going to go crazy in free agency. No, they're not. They're going to sign veteran free agents that maybe on one-year deals, older guys. They're not going to be giving those guys long-term contracts. Now, if they find a young veteran, a 26, 27-year-old that got released from a team or got freed by one way or another and has a future, a real future, a stud, then, yeah, that's the guy they give a long-term contract. But that's the reality of it. I think they'll play the guys that have no future. But if you do have a future, they will weigh what the real options should be, like an X. What do you think?
Yeah. I'll be interested to see, because that's kind of what they've done with Jakeem Grant so far. Albert Wilson, I don't know. Albert kept telling us that he was healthy and that he was ready to play, and we just saw him come back this week. So, there's some guys that I'll be keeping an eye on and listening to what they say. Now, and keeping in mind, the player is always going to say he can play, right? I mean, pretty much he's always going to say that. But I'll be keeping an eye on that. And so it's going to be very interesting to see how they approach this thing, because I don't think that that Steve Ross wants to win as many games as possible. I do think that Brian Flores wants to win as many games as possible, and I know that the players want to win as many games as possible.
Yeah, no, I'm with you all the way. I mean, anybody that thinks the front office is giving up, then they wouldn't have given them Ryan Fitzpatrick, because Ryan Fitzpatrick has been known to actually win a couple games in this league. So if you're not trying to win games, you wouldn't give them Ryan Fitzpatrick. You'd give them Luke Falk backing up, you know, Josh Rosen. So that way you really have no shot at winning. But with Ryan Fitzpatrick, you're actually trying to at least win or something along those lines. And yesterday, it almost happened, man. Here comes Fitz, and he comes into it. Now, let me ask you something. How do you – because I know you wrote an article about Josh Rosen on how, mm-hmm. how the perception has not been the reality. So mm-hmm. – the question is, how does he handle all of this? How does I loved in the press conference yesterday where he said, hey, man, I understood the decision. The coach is here to win games. And I basically, he kind of said, I wasn't helping him win that game yesterday. I like that.
I think Josh is a very mature kid, man. And I wrote in that same column that I'm actually rooting for the guy. I'm hoping that somebody gives him a chance. I think from his standpoint, no matter what he said outwardly, it was probably another this league sucks type moment for him, right? Because I don't know that anybody is really giving this kid a chance. Yeah, he threw the two interceptions, but I was surprised that they brought Fitz in. Because to me, after Flo says that the quarterback thing is settled, I'm a fan of let the guy dig his way out of it, because this is adversity and really part of the big goal of this season is seeing what you have in Josh Rosen. Maybe you already know. I don't think that Flo really likes Josh Rosen. I think he always needles him. We've talked about that. I don't think he's a fan. I think that Flo thinks I've just been kind of stuck with this kid who, you know, I have a better chance of winning with Fitz, but I'm hoping that Rosen goes back to being the starter this week. But I probably would have kept Josh Rosen in that game yesterday, quite honestly, Pico. And maybe you wouldn't have gotten the two fourth-quarter touchdowns. They did go to an up-tempo offense when Fitz came in, and that helped. Maybe you wouldn't have, but a big part of this season is seeing what you've got in Rosen, and you've got to give the kid a chance even in tough times.
Chris Perkins, of course, from The Athletic, joining us, talking a little Dolphins. He's unfortunately, we can't call him a bust. He's kind of headed down that road of Bustville. But I will say this. Yesterday, he made the biggest catch of his career, the nicest catch of his career, and that's Mike Gesicki. And he's not one of those young guys that we can say, oh, he's making big-time improvements here. We can't say that. But I will tell you this. I'll give him credit. That was a really nice catch. The ball placement by Ryan Fitzpatrick was exceptional on that play.
Yeah, that was a very nice play, and you're right. Gesicki is a guy who is just trending in the wrong direction. I really thought we were going to see more out of him this year. And to go back to the coaches, I do have some faith in this coaching staff because, look, I like what they've done with Raekwon, right? They've got him more as almost a outside linebacker, defensive end. He's able to set the edge. He's able to make some good tackles. I think that suits him better than being inside for the majority of the time. I don't know what they can do with Gesicki. I mean, you know, he's not a good blocker. He's a receiver. He's a receiving tight end who uses athleticism and jumping ability to be able to excel. And we did see that on that reception, but we just don't see it enough. I don't know what you need to do to wake Gesicki up. There's only so many things you can do with that guy, right? You can put him in line. You can put him in the slot. But, you know, eventually he's got to win one-on-one battles, and we just haven't seen it enough. But that was a good play that he made yesterday.
Yeah, no, that was an excellent play. And the you know, Perk, the thing that's, like, really been a shocker is how he is really not a good football player. He doesn't really have a lot of savvy to his game. He's definitely not physical. And I don't really – look, I don't mind that you're not physical. If you're going to be exceptional everything else, then I'm good. It wasn't like you knew Antonio Gates because he was a mauler at the line. You know what I'm saying? So
it's not
like Tony Gonzalez was a mauler at the line either. You know what I'm saying? So use your athleticism to your benefit like those guys did. And that's what I don't see from this kid. I don't see him excelling in any way, shape, or form. I don't see a guy that plays with incredible fire. And then at times, I got to say, he looks awkward out there. There isn't a flow to his game. You know what I'm saying? It's almost like he has to try really hard out there to look like he's making an impact.
Yeah, Big O, isn't it amazing how long this organization's been searching for a good tight end? I mean, I guess Charles Clay had the one good year, maybe two good years. I think that's the year before he went to Buffalo in free agency. But, you know, and they've tried, you know, Dustin Keller and Jordan Cameron and Michael Agnew. And they've tried veterans. They, you know, O'Leary I thought was going to show a little promise. They draft Durham Smythe the same year that they get Gesicki. And, man, the tight end position is just such a weapon in the NFL for, what, the last dozen years, the last 10 years?
And Randy McMichael is the last decent tight end that we had, dude. Randy McMichael.
Yep.
Okay.
And what was that, 04, 05, 06, all through whenever he was, you know, he went to San Diego, right? Maybe about 08 or something like that. Yeah. You're right.
It's been a while since we had a guy in that position and we say, okay, we got a dog at that position.
Yep.
And that's the thing. That's the other word that I can't say with Gesicki. I don't see dog in that guy. And that's the scary part because I'm wondering, what did you see in him when you were watching the film that made you think he would be a dog and he would become a player? That's one dude that really has me, you know, kind of depressed that he's never going to turn the corner. Some of the other guys I can still have some patience with. You know, some people have lost their patience with Jakeem Grant. I'm not one of them because I think what they've done with Jakeem is they've put him out of place. He's really a number four wide receiver and your punt returner. That's what he should be. But once you start elevating him to be your number two or number three wide receiver and he's playing more and he puts more of a burden on that little body of his, that's where I think you start to lose him. He's got to be more of a complimentary guy. But when you start putting him in a main position, I think that's where that might be a little too much for him.
Yeah, all of these receivers, I'm, you know, I know we haven't seen a whole lot from Albert Wilson, and they really don't even get him downfield much. He's doing a lot of screens with little to no blocking. So, you know, I don't know how fair it is, but yeah, the receivers are just unexciting. I know Allen Hurns is coming back from the concussion. He's another one on that reclamation project list, by the way. Allen Hurns,
yeah,
from that terrible injury that he had in Dallas. We'll see what Hurns does. But boy, these receivers, I'm just not that impressed, Big O. And Preston, he's an undrafted rookie, so we'll give him a chance. Devontae, you know, you can say whatever you want.
He's done.
Touchdowns.
He's
but
done.
Right, exactly. We've seen that. But, yeah, I thought maybe Jakeem, maybe Albert, somebody would show us something else. We'll see what they've got in Hurns. But, yeah, I've been unimpressed. The tight end position and the receiver position have been kind of duds. And I actually thought the secondary was going to show something else from some of those guys. I thought even initially – some guys such as Torrey McTyrin and Jalen Davis were going to be ready to make a jump. They didn't even make the 53-man roster. But those three groups are probably – well, I guess I could probably throw running back in there too, huh?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I just want to see something, some glimmer, somebody aside from your established guys of Xavier and Bobby McCain and Rashad Jones, you know, somebody take a step forward. It's early in the season, but I'm really looking for somebody at one of those three positions.
Yeah, and to me, I think Chris Greer really only brought Devontae back because if they had cut him, they weren't going to get any compensation for him.
Right.
And somebody went, so they're like, hey, why don't we bring him back for a year? We're rebuilding. If we develop him and somebody likes him by the trading deadline, we can trade him. I think they're trying to do the same thing with Albert Wilson, but unfortunately the injury has not agreed with him. And Kenyon Drake's the other guy. I don't think either one of those guys have any future whatsoever with Miami. But they, I think, would love to trade one of those for any kind of picks that they could get for those guys. That's why I think they're here more than anything else.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think the Dolphins' policy, and correctly so, has been if you are one of those guys, if you have any type of value, we'll try to wring it out of you. We'll put you out there, Albert Wilson and Kenyon Drake and really, to a lesser extent, I guess Josh Rosen, and see what people think of you, and if there's a market for you, we'll move you. We'll move you, Devontae Parker, whoever it is. I don't think they're really married to a whole lot of guys on this roster, quite honestly.
Yeah, no, I'm with you, no doubt about it. Perk, what are you working on at The Athletic so folks can check you out with all your exceptional Dolphin coverage? Draft coverage coming too, also.
It kind of is. It's funny that you say that because the coverage has kind of morphed into as much a look ahead as it is reporting on what's going on now. And one thing that I am working on is teams with multiple draft picks in the first round. How have they done? How have those picks turned out? What can we hope for with the Dolphins with those multiple first round picks? So that's something that I'm taking a look at here. And look, we know that the Dolphins have a tremendous opportunity. What has history told us about other teams who have such opportunities?
I'm with you there. Follow him on Twitter at Chris Perk. And, man, I'm telling you, The Athletic is a joke. It's like $4 a month, and you get the entire country, not just all your South Florida coverage with your Dolphins and your Canes and your Marlins and your Heat and your Panthers and all that good stuff, but you get the entire country, all kinds of great columnists. So it's like $4 a month. It's a joke. And follow my man Chris Perkins on there so you can get great Dolphin coverage. Perk, as always, man, you're a stud. Thank you for taking some time, man. Appreciate it.
Hey, for you anytime, Big O. You know that, man. Thanks.
Thank you, my brother. There you go. That is Chris Perkins from The Athletic joining us here on the program. Good stuff by Perk. We do want to remind you that Caneswear is a proud sponsor of the Big O Show, and the 2019 football premier parlay jersey is out. It's white. It's beautiful. The uniform was created by using recycled ocean plastic yarn to promote more sustainable ways of living, and it features parlay ocean plastic, upcycled waste, intercept, intercepted from beaches and coastal communities before it reaches the oceans, which is a beautiful thing. So they're doing good things there at Caneswear. So go check it out. Larger store, all kinds of great items for the kids, for the babies, for the women, jerseys, shirts, hats. It's your headquarters, baby. You want to get anything Canes? You want to get some stuff that are Dolphins, Miami Heat, Marlins, even Inter Miami and the Panthers. They've got it all for you. If you bleed orange and green like I do, go to 2511 South University Drive in Davie. Go online. And by the way, if you don't live close and you want to go online, if you order over $99, it is free shipping. Caneswear.com. And of course, you can go to @Canes_wear on Twitter. You can follow them there. Go say hi to Brett and all the amazing people and tell them that Big O sent you. We will be broadcasting out there later on this month. Remember, you can reach out to us on the accidentlawfirm.com text line, 786-322-1105. That's 786-322-1105.